Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this, the third Sunday in Advent, we are meant to have something of a break. But I've found, though, that the season of Advent typically goes by so fast that few are those who have really pressed the penitential nature of the season so far that they're ready for a break. Rather, this is usually the time to turn up our resolve. We are less than 2 weeks from the Feast of Christmas, the Feast of the Incarnation. And I can almost guarantee you that the feeling that many of you have when I say that sentence is something like dread, but dread that has nothing to do with the heaviness of the penitential season, but the fact that the gifts are not all yet purchased. Perhaps the family gathering is approaching. We're not sure how that's going to go. Or perhaps that once again, it just doesn't feel like Christmas. This time of preparation, though, is meant to be the nature of Advent. The season of Christmastide is almost upon us. And it is likely that there is yet some dawdling going on. Some hemming and hawing and procrastination, and even some questioning. Some may say, what's the big deal? All the most important truths of the church are true all year round. That's the cynic's way out of thinking about the incarnation at the Feast of Christmas. And yes, it is true that redemption does not come to us once a year, but rather our acknowledgement of the means of our salvation come in the midst of these seasons on annual cycles. And so if you were created in a timeless and mysteriously unique way, such that all things are always present to you at all times, like the Holy Trinity, then good for you. But for the rest of us, we live in space and time, and we are experiencing our redemption in the midst of our space and time. A time that is hallowed by the seasons of the church and by the space which you occupy, including the space that you occupy this morning when you've come here to worship. But of course, it is not just here and now where our salvation is to be found. If anyone, though, had a mystical experience of space and time, it would be John the Baptist, who was not afraid to stare down rulers and authorities, who is not attached to possessions or titles, and who, while baptizing in the River Jordan, while all Jerusalem and Judea were coming out to him, was not afraid to raise his voice and his finger to point, to say, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him that taketh away the sins of the world." This same John the Baptist was having a very particular experience in space and time along with his disciples, those that were following him. For he was in a prison, and his disciples were tending to him there. And from this prison emerged disciples making a journey to Jesus to ask Jesus a question. And the question is a simple one, but potentially a shocking one. An Advent question, if there ever was one. Now, when John had heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" What a question as we come to the close of Advent. Now, many a sermon have been preached about how John the Baptist faltered in his belief while he was in prison, encouraging people that perhaps it's okay to falter here and there now and again. After all, if John the Baptist, about whom our Lord said that there had never been greater amongst humankind, if he could falter in his faith, then perhaps we could be excused for folding now and again. And let me suggest to you, as I do every year on the third Sunday of Advent, that I don't believe it was John the Baptist who was faltering. I'm not alone in that belief. John the Baptist was not afraid of anyone. And he was chief of all believers, perhaps only second to the Blessed Virgin herself. But John the Baptist had two disciples who I can almost guarantee you were not so sure. Sitting with their master in a prison, no doubt they had heard John speak of Jesus many times and yet wondered, if Jesus is so great, why are you in prison? There's a lot in that question. And John the Baptist, undeterred, sent them to see for themselves. John the Baptist, who had given Jesus some of his disciples in the past, the very moment that he identified him as the Lamb of God, Andrew, being a follower of John the Baptist, was converted with another to go and follow Jesus. And John the Baptist said, that's the right thing to do. Here, John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus again. St. Jerome would state the situation this way, making a parallel between this situation and that of Lazarus. When Lazarus died, Jesus came to the home of his family a day later than they had hoped, and when it was sure that Lazarus was indeed dead, Jesus says, "Where is he buried?" The same Jesus who the woman at the well ran back to the town exclaiming, "He knows all my deeds." This Jesus doesn't know where Lazarus is buried. St. Jerome says that Jesus asked the question so that the people would naturally come with him to the tomb, so that they would see with their own eyes what he was about to do. And when they met Jesus in person and saw what he could do, they would be changed. John the Baptist had disciples that were likely a little concerned to see their master in prison with the very real possibility that he was not getting out of this prison, and they thought about their own fate. John had told them a million times about Jesus, and they were still not so sure. The question is, art thou he, or should we look for someone else? Jesus had the people around follow him to Lazarus' tomb so they could see for themselves the resurrection of the dead. And John had his disciples go and see for themselves, and they met him, and they asked their question, are you the one, or do we look for another? And that is the question. That is the question of Advent, and that is the question of Christmas. And let me tell you, if it doesn't feel like Christmas yet, I come from Saskatchewan up in Canada. There was snow everywhere. You could say it feels like Christmas for several months in a row. But if you say it doesn't feel like Christmas, I think it's because you're trying to muster up nostalgia, trying to have feelings like a child before his birthday party or something like that. And of course, as you get older, it's harder to muster that. That is something, but that's not the feast we're approaching. This is not a birthday party in that way. The feast we're approaching is all about the question, are you the one we're searching for, or should we search for someone else? Are you the Christ? If Jesus is so great, why are you still in prison? If Jesus is so great, why are my circumstances as they are? If you can sense the tension in the room with John the Baptist and his disciples in prison, then it's beginning to feel like Christmas. Lord Jesus, here I am in my circumstances, in my time and in my space, and I don't see how I'm going to get through this. Some things have worked out in a way I was not expecting, perhaps even in a way that I was dreading. And before we get any further in this life, before we walk the way of the cross any farther together, are you the one, or should we be looking for another? To the disciples of John, Jesus could have just said, yes. But instead, like raising Lazarus from the dead for all to see, Jesus offers an opportunity for these ones to hear a better answer. And he says something like, turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 35. Because that's what he says as an answer to these ones who know their scriptures very well. These ones who are asking, is John ever going to get out of prison? Am I in danger for being his disciple? Am I in danger for being your disciple? Is everything going to work out? Have I placed my faith in the right person? Or should I be searching for someone or something else? Should I stand in awe and worship like the uneducated shepherds of Bethlehem? Should I say yes and genuflect to you like the wise and well-educated men from the East, those kings? Should I say yes and invite you in like the Blessed Virgin Mary and the humility of Saint Joseph? Or should I be looking for some other way? If you can ask that question and feel that tension, then it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. The Lord brings you to his church, and though you could have stayed at home, he brings you to the church to see and hear the answer in your time and in your space. And as you consider again Jesus' answer to the disciples of John the Baptist, and as we read some of these verses from Isaiah chapter 35, consider that the answer is not only for them, it is for you. Are you the one, or do we look for another? Jesus implies this answer. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And then the words that he quotes. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. May we, in the midst and towards the end of a penitential season, preparing for the feast of Christmas, participate by repenting of our sins and our rebellion and our faithlessness, and prepare ourselves, making straight in the desert a highway, as we ask the question again, are you the one, or should we look for another? May we receive the answer. May we receive our Lord. In fact, let earth receive her King and not search for another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.